Welcome to The Inner Side, produced at KPFT Houston for Free Radio Santa Cruz and community radio stations worldwide. My name is Scooter, your host.
And we went to bed in this little shack kind of thing, and one of the guys in the group, he was an editor from back east, and he wakes up, and it was really hot and stifling. So he goes outside. It's still dark out. Sun hasn't come up yet. And he's sitting on the front steps of the shack, and he feels like somebody's watching him. And he turns around, and there's these two little Haitian kids. So he beckons to them, you know. Not talking, but he's got a notebook and he's drawing pictures and they're doing hand signals. The kids say something to each other and they nod and smile and they grab him by the hand and they say, you know, come on, we're going to take you somewhere, and they start dragging him off down this path into the woods. I gets a little bit worried, you know, like, where the hell are these kids taking me? And they take them up the path. They're going up the side of this hill. And the guy, he was very honest. He was a white guy, and he said all this racism that he wasn't even aware was in him started to come out. Like, oh my God, they're going to take me and put me in a big pot. This racism. Going up the side of this hill, up this path, and this guy is starting to freak out. This guy is starting to freak out. And he says, just as he's like so scared that he's about to break away from him, the kids stop, and they turn him around, and they face him east. And the sun was just breaking the horizon at the end of that valley, and all the shafts of sunlight were shafting into the trees, and all the songbirds were coming to song. And he said it was the most beautiful experience of his entire life. And he looked down, and these two little kids were looking up at him with these huge smiles on their face because they knew what they just gave him. These kids didn't have shoes. They didn't have real pants. They had rags on. They had no material wealth, and they reached out across the entire class structure of the planet to a guy from the top of the pyramid, from their position at the bottom, and they touched his heart in a way that changed his life forever. That guy will never be the same. When he told us the story, we all cried, right? Now, if those little kids who are not literate and have no material resources can do that, we can change the world. We can end hunger. We can end war. We can end environmental destruction. It's not as hard as it sounds. We can change.
Something has gone seriously haywire with the Republican Party. Once, it was the party of pragmatic Main Street businessmen in steel-rimmed spectacles who decried profligacy and waste, who devoted their communities and supported the sort of prosperity that raises all ships. They were good-hearted people who vanquished the gnarlier elements of their party, the paranoid Roosevelt haters, the flat earthers and prohibitionists, the anti-papist, anti-foreigner element. The genial Eisenhower was their man, a genuine American hero of D-Day who made it okay for reasonable people to vote Republican. 50s Republicans were giants compared to today's. Richard Nixon was the last Republican to feel a Christian obligation towards the poor. The Nixon moderate vanished like the passenger pigeon, purged by a legion of angry white men who rose to power on pure punk politics. Bipartisanship is another form of date rape, says Grover Norquist, the Sid Vicious of the GOP. I don't want to abolish government. I simply want to reduce it to the size where I can drag it into the bathroom and drown it in the bathtub. The boy has edible problems, and government is his daddy. The party of Lincoln and Liberty was transmogrified into the party of hairy-backed swamp developers and corporate shills, faith-based economists, fundamentalist bullies with Bibles, Christians of convenience, freelance racists, misanthropic frat boys, shrieking midgets of AM radio, tax cheats, nihilists in golf pants, brown shirts in pinstripes, sweatshop tycoons, hacks, fakers, aggressive dorks, Lamborghini libertarians, people who believe Neil Armstrong's moonwalk was filmed in Roswell, New Mexico, little honkers out to diminish the rest of us, Newt's evil spawn and their Etch-a-Sketch president, a dull and rigid man, suspicious of the free flow of information and of secular institutions, whose philosophy is a jumble of badly sutured body parts trying to walk. Republicans, the number one reason the rest of the world thinks we're deaf, dumb, and dangerous. Rich ironies abound. Lies pop up like toadstools in the forest. Wild swine crowd around the public trough. Outrageous gerrymandering. Hypocrisies shine like cat turds in the moonlight. Oh, Mark Twain, where art thou this hour? Arise and behold the Gilded Age, reincarnated, gaudier than ever, upholding great wealth as the sure sign of divine grace. The concentration of wealth and power in the hands of the few is the death knell of democracy. No republic in the history of humanity has survived this. The election of 2004 will say something about what happens to ours. The omens are not good. Our beloved land has been fogged with fear. Fear, the greatest political strategy ever. An ominous silence, distant sirens, a drumbeat of whispered warnings and alarm to keep the public uneasy and silence the opposition. And in a time of vague fear, you can appoint bullet-brained judges, strip the bark off the Constitution, eviscerate federal regulatory agencies, bring public education to a standstill, stupefy the press, and lavish gorgeous tax breaks on the rich. There is a stink drifting through this election year. It's 9/11. We keep coming back to it. But it wasn't the end of innocence, a turning point in our history, or a cosmic occurrence. It was an event, a lapse of security. And patriotism shouldn't prevent people from asking hard questions of the man who was purportedly in charge of national security at the time. This year, as in the past, Republicans will portray Democrats as embittered academics, desiccated Unitarians, whacked out hippies and communards, people who talk to telephone poles, the party of the deadheads. They will wave enormous flags and wow over the footage of firemen in the wreckage of the World Trade Center, bodies being carried out, and they will lie about their economic policies with astounding enthusiasm. Government of Enron by Halliburton for evangelicals is not what Lincoln spoke of. This gang of pithecanthropous republicani has humbugged us to death on terrorism, tax cuts for the comfy, school prayer and flag burning, and claim the right to know what books we read while dumping their sewage upstream from town. Clear-cutting forests and gutting the IRS, marking up the Constitution on behalf of intolerance, promoting the corporate takeover of the public airwaves. To hell with anyone opposing them. I've been reading from an essay entitled, We're Not in Lake Wobegon Anymore, written by Garrison Keillor. Hey, Garrison, if you're listening, why don't you read this on your radio show? I think you got a few more listeners than me. Well, guess you want to keep it that way. I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car.
notice that the lights have changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was on the house of floor. The army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look, having read the
up and got out of bed yesterday, Wednesday, September 29th. It's no wonder. I'd drunken myself into a barely warm corpse the night before, and in the last moments of spinning consciousness, before entering a near coma, I dropped a hit of acid. 500 mics of clean LSD-25, scored on the final Fish tour by a new age hippie runaway. On her way down, traded for a bag of lousy Mexican tar heroin on Telegraph Avenue to a cheap thug who forgot to pay his bills and met with hard times. 4 hours later, I woke up traveling warp speed through a badly written Carlos Castaneda novel with Gumby and Pokey.
Hey Pokey, what you doing?
Well, Gumby, I was thinking of going to Tijuana and get a job.
Oh, Pokey, watch out for the Federales!
Well, I'll just sell them radios for their vans. I'll sell them radios for their vans.
In frantic horror, I leapt up, slamming my face into the spinning blades of the ceiling fan over my head, gashing my right eye and splattering a cascade of blood across the mirror on my ceiling. Screaming and clutching at the wound, I leapt for the half-drunken bottle of Jack Daniels on the bedstand, while thousands of paisley scorpions swarmed to drink the pools of blood from the filthy sheets. The whiskey hit my throat before I noticed the cigarette butt I'd apparently doused in the bottle, confusing it with one of the dozens of empties. But I needed something, anything, to relieve the terror and the increasing apocalyptic chemical psychosis. The cigarette filter bounced off my clenched teeth in the final gulp as the warm sickness rose inside and the chill of alcoholic morbidity raced across my skull, ringing my ears and constricting my throat. Still pressing the treacherous flowing gape in my face, I staggered deliriously across the room to my raggedy compact Windows 95 box, navigating through hideous gargoyle figures and swirling hieroglyphic text, the now blood-drenched keyboard bubbling and squishing as I typed frantically. I made my way to Free Radio Santa Cruz, grasping for the faithful audio stream of Twisted Sanity.
Somebody help me, please.
busted. The longest running pirate radio station in America was taken down yesterday by armed federal agents and the FCC. Despite the fact that Free Radio Santa Cruz has been adopted and endorsed by the Santa Cruz City Council as an asset to the community, on the air for 8 years, Pacifica's own Amy Goodman broadcast twice from Free Radio Santa Cruz over the past year, including a resident spot with Utah Phillips and Annie DeFranca. That would be twice more than she broadcast from KPFT. Free Radio Santa Cruz, no longer rocking the boat or the airwaves. As the election heats up, it's convenient. They took the computers, they took the wires, they took the board, they took the Gettner, they took the coax, they took the XLR plug, they took the duct tape, they took the coat hangers, they took the armpit hair from the women, they took the bush from my craw, they took the doctor from my octopus, they took the head from my brain, the fog from my head, they tried to take the shine from my big, pink, shiny ass, but they couldn't get my freedom of speech, and I'll talk out of either end I want. They took the antenna, they took the transmitter, the voice from my mouth, the expression from my gut, the feminine from my manhood, the hope from my legacy, the last sip from my beer, the craziness from childhood, the slurps from the cups, the metaphors from my similes, the stupidity of my rhetoric.
But you're really a community radio station then.
That's right. Yeah, we basically, you know, we're not a lot of pirate stations like to tout free speech and all that, but I mean, we've grown into something that we've realized that, you know, we're not a quote free speech station because we don't allow the KKK to come on, and we don't allow racist points of view, homophobic stuff, sexist type stuff, and we've just come to terms with that's the direction that we want to go. We mainly concern ourselves with information, getting information out, especially right now, what's going on in the Middle East. We've been constantly reading off what's been going on at Palestine Indie Media, JerusalemIndieMedia.org, and interviewing people, getting them on the air.
According to the U.S. Army, the man was told to stand on a box with his head covered, with wires attached to his hands. He was told that if he fell off the box, he would be electrocuted. It was this picture and dozens of others that prompted an investigation by the U.S. Army. The pictures show Americans, men and women, in military uniforms, posing with naked Iraqi prisoners. There are shots of the prisoners stuck in a pyramid.
Flies all green and buzzing in his dungeon of despair. Prisoners grumble and zip their clothes, scratch their matted hair. A tiny light from a window hole 100 yards away is all they ever get to know about the regular life in the day. And it stinks so bad, the stone's been choking and weeping greenish drops. In the room where the giant fire puffer works and the torture never stops. The torture never stops. Slime and rot, rats and snot, and vomit on the floor. 50 Ugly soldiers, man, holding spears by the iron door. Knives and spikes and guns and the likes of every tool of pain. And a sinister midget with a bucket and a mop where the blood goes down the drain. And it stinks so bad, the stone's been choking and weeping greenish drops. In the room where the
giant fire above the works, and the torture never stops.
What happened was there's a 57-year-old Iraqi man named Sadiq Zulman who was detained by U.S. forces during...
And in most of the pictures, the Americans are laughing, posing, pointing, or giving the camera a thumbs up. Yesterday, we asked General Mark Kent, Deputy...
He was held by them, transferred to Crete, and there, apparently, is where he was...
Mission operations in Iraq, what went wrong?
What would I tell the people of Iraq?
He is in a coma. His wife and nine daughters are trying to deal with the expensive medicines he needs every month to stay alive. They sold literally everything in their home to try to keep feeding him and buying the supplies and the medicines that he needs. He was held in a U.S. military detention center in Tikrit. He was detained from his home, but it was U.S. military custody the entire time. He was in perfect health when he was detained, and when they dropped him back off at the hospital, he was in a coma with all the obvious signs of torture. He had electrical burns on the bottoms of each foot where electrodes had obviously been attached. He had electrical burns on his penis. He had whip marks all across his back. He had bruises up and down his legs and ribs. His right hand was broken. Both thumbs were broken, and the back of his head was severely bludgeoned in, and the back of his skull had very extensive bruising and was actually indented from the marks.
And this was reported as a heart attack.
Basically, the two top reasons they gave were a heart attack and heat stroke.
I've been looking at this Iraqi prisoner porn. It's a bit confusing. It's a bit bukkake, if you catch my drift. They hung Japanese for this, you know, after the last big colonial human pyramid. Because we have women filming men having sex. That's not quite how we do things in America. Something's been turned upside down. Well, these people, these interrogators, they've been privatized. It's perverse. Where's the sense of duty? But we've had our special forces all over the world. Guatemala, East Timor, Nicaragua, Colombia, Haiti. Because they were us. They came from inside you and I. They were us, you know? Well, when nipple clips are attached to a generator, I'd feel much better if a civil servant was turning the crank. Don't you think? For freedom. Our liberty, our credibility. They torture for America, not for money. They're being all they can be, not because they choose to. They do it for us. They do it for America, the flag, a sense of history.
United States and our partners are acting together in a noble purpose. We're out to keep the peace, to make the world more peaceful. And we're going to free the people of Iraq from the clutches of Saddam Hussein and his murderous allies.
Our goal is to liberate the Iraqi people. As in Afghanistan, our objective in Iraq is conquest or colonization, to liberate the Iraqi people, to secure Iraq's oil fields and resources, to liberate the Iraqi people, to collect such intelligence as we can, to liberate the Iraqi people.
To be able to say to the Iraqi people, we were proud to fight for your freedom.
Our goal is to liberate the Iraqi people. As in Afghanistan, our objective in Iraq is conquest or colonization, to liberate the Iraqi people, to develop their country after decades of neglect, to liberate the Iraqi people. Our objective is to bring down Iraqis with weapons of mass destruction and establish a new government, one that respects the American forces and those of our coalition partners, and to choose their leaders, to liberate the Iraqi people.
We refuse to leave the Iraqi people in slavery.
Our goal is to liberate the Iraqi people.
Arkan Daif. Liberate.
They're beginning to realize, I suspect, that the regime is history.
And Sahar Akil. Liberate. Liberate.
All Americans hold you and your families.
Atta Hassin. Liberated.
To liberate the Iraqi people.
Ahmad and Daha Hassan. Liberated.
Of its diverse population.
Khalifa Abdul Muhammad. Liberated. Liberated. Liberated.
And the aspirations of all Iraqis to liberate.
Esa Hassim Naheen. Liberated. Liberated.
Which belong to the Iraqi people and which they will need.
Moin Adeh. Liberated.
Know that we are proud of you.
Doha Hossein. Liberated.
That we stand with you today.
Khana Shahid. Liberated.
Liberated. Liberated. And last, to help the Iraqi people.
Subhi Salam. Liberated.
Begin searching for a way to save themselves.
Shafa Wahid. Liberated. Liberated.
To liberate the Iraqi people.
Tana Said. Liberated. Shad Hassan. Liberated. Shahid Haddad. Liberated. Doha Hindawi. Liberated.
Liberated. Liberated. Liberated.
Rosel Khalil. Liberated. Hamza Sihayev. Liberated.
Liberated.
Ali
Liberated.
Shaha.
Liberated.
Khamel Shalish.
Liberated. Liberated. Liberated.
Saad Hassin. Liberated. Abed Shaib.
You've been listening to Mind Walk from Upstart Radio, sitting in for Scooter and the Inner Side until we get this mess cleaned up here on the Gulf Coast.